Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever noticed that it's easier to break things than to fix them? Anybody who's broken something in the house knows this to be true. Anyone who's ever had a fire knows this to be true. The fire might last a few hours, but the refit takes months, sometimes years. Hurricane Katrina came through in all its force several years ago, and it only took a day or two, and it took years to rebuild. It's so much easier. You who have relationships understand this. It's so much easier to say one or two really dumb things. They only take a few seconds, and it might take weeks before we're out of the doghouse. It's easier to tear down than to build up. We know that if we break a limb, it takes a split second to break something, and yet it's weeks and months of rehab. And it's kind of discouraging when we have to build up that which is broken. When my father broke his hip, he was 85 years old, and he had advanced COPD, he had emphysema, and we figured he's done for. But fortunately for him, he had a very tough Sicilian wife. So when he had his surgery, she said, "You will not come home until you are on your feet walking." He was home in 2 weeks with just a cane. Everybody, I think, needs a tough Sicilian in their lives. But if you don't have a tough Sicilian in your life, how do you rebuild something that's broken? How do we rebuild institutions that have been broken? How do we rebuild trust that's been broken? How do we rebuild relationships that have been broken? How do we rebuild communities? How do we rebuild churches? How do we do that when something's been torn apart and we want to rebuild? And I think of the people in the prophet's time who wanted to rebuild. They had been in a foreign country for a long, long time. Their homeland had been destroyed. They only knew the wonderful stories of their homeland. They had heard stories passed down from generations about the former glory of their kingdom. And they wanted to go back and rebuild. So they went back. And these people were not without resources. These people were the elite. These people knew what they needed to do, and they knew what was in front of them. They also had excellent leadership. And so they came back to their homeland to rebuild. And at first the rebuilding was good, and then it started to go into disrepair. But they had a plan. They said, if we work hard and we pray harder, that's going to do it. So these folks were champion prayers. They would not only pray, they would fast. Some of you know about fasting. I tried it for one meal, and I get so cranky I don't do it. So I really admire these people who fasted along with praying, and they gathered together as a nation to pray. They figured, we're working hard, and we're praying hard, and God will hear us. And God in the heavens was strangely silent. That didn't discourage them. They worked even harder, and they prayed even harder. And God was still silent. And boy, were they getting frustrated with God. And so the questions were asked, maybe God is deaf. God's not hearing us. God is not a good player. God's not helping us at all. Maybe we should forget about God in all of this. Why isn't God doing what God's supposed to do? And finally, I guess God had had enough. So, you know, when you keep questioning God, you might not want to hear the answer. Only question if you really want to hear the answer. So God said to the prophet, I want you to shout it out. I want you to blow a trumpet. I want everybody to hear my answer. He said, the reason that your prayers are not going through is not because you're not good prayers or good fasters. It's because in all your hard work, you're not bringing anybody else along with you. It's all about you. And God says, if you want to be heard, if you want to be restored, if you want God to bless your work, you got to bring somebody else along with you. And he named the people that they had to bring along with them. And he said, your workers you have to bring along with you. The poor you have to bring along with you. The homeless you have to bring along with you. The people who are in trouble you have to bring along with you. Members of your own family you have to bring along with you. You can't build until you bring everybody along. That seems easy to do, doesn't it? He said, if I've given you clothing, you got to find someone who doesn't and give them clothing too. If I've given you food, you've got to feed somebody who doesn't have that food. And you have to do it, he said, without pointing the finger. Now, we don't know anything about pointing the finger, do we? Somebody said to me recently that they had to one time go on food stamps. And when they were in the food line, somebody was looking at them and said, we want to know that our tax dollars are working and that you're putting the right food on the table. Who are we? God says, you got to stop that. Stop pointing the finger. And when we bring others along, we bring that family member who's a bitter disappointment along. When we bring the people that we might judge along, God said, then I'll answer. But I'll not only answer to repair that which was broken. What does God say? He said, you and I will raise up the foundations of many generations. It's not just about repairing what's broken. It's laying a foundation for our children. It's laying a foundation for their children. It's laying a foundation for the generations that we will never see when we bring people along. That's the kind of world God wants from us. Now, I know that this past week has been very difficult in our nation. Whichever side of the political spectrum you're on, it was not an easy week, and it's not going to be an easy year. And we might not be able to fix what's broken in Washington, D.C. I might not be able to help all the people who are hungry, even in Door County. But I can help one. I can go to Door of Life Food Pantry. They say that the cupboards are pretty bare there, and I can bring some groceries there. I might not be able to help all the homeless in our nation, but I'm sure I can help one family through some institution. I know I might not be able to help all the people who need heating assistance in Door County, but I could help one family. I know I might not be able to take care of all the relationships that are broken in this church, but maybe if I start with my own family, I can help somebody else. I might not be able to do a whole bunch of things, but I can do one thing. I don't want to be known as the person who tore things down and blew things up and burn things down. It might be immensely satisfying. I remember when my kid went on a mission trip, all the boys loved to volunteer for the demolition teams. That's really a great thing sometimes, to tear down and to burn up. But how do we want to be known? It's easy to tear down. But do we want to be known for the ones who raise up the foundations for generations yet unborn? Do we want to be known as the repairer of the breach and the restorer of roads to walk on? If we want to rebuild this community, if we want to rebuild this world, if we want to rebuild that which is broken, whether it's locally or nationally, we start by bringing people along. Let's leave no one behind. That's how God wants us to work. Jesus said it best when he looked at people who were disenfranchised, who had no money, no standing, and he said, "You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world." And that's the challenge we have. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world, and we hold the beacon for others. Will you join me this year in restoring the streets, in repairing the breach, in building up the foundations for generations to come? Let us pray. Lord, I ask that you will match our prayer with our practice. We thank you that we can come to you, that by your Spirit, we can be enlightened and empowered to do your work. And we ask, O Lord, as you restore and repair our own souls, that you would help us to restore and repair this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.